a funny light story with sexy times with a happy ending. Mm-hmm. Me and about 40 million other people are going to offer that. It's got to be something unique to you. What is the unique thing you give to a reader?
Welcome to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast, where we focus on how authors found success, looking at strategies that have taken them to the top of the bestseller charts, as well as what they've learned from their mistakes. Because being an indie author is more than knowing the latest marketing trend. It's about being innovative and creative and learning from your mistakes.
Welcome to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast. I'm Sarah Rosette.
And I'm Jamie Albright. And this week on the show, we are talking
to Jamie about branding. we're gonna discuss branding in depth.
Well, as in depth as I can get.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
But first, let's see. We have a couple of new supporters.
Yes.
So let me get it. We have Nora Michaels, and mm-hmm. she chose the unicorn emoji.
Yes. Yes.
And we have Ashley Admire. Mm-hmm. I think that's how you say that last name, with a magnifying glass.
Yes. And I love that last name. Yeah, that's great.
Me too. I thought it was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's a pen name.
I don't know. It's a great name.
Yeah. Very memorable. But thank you so much for supporting the podcast. We really appreciate it. And if anyone else wants to support the podcast, you can find how to do that at wishidknownforwriters.com/support.
Mm-hmm. And we dropped a supporter
episode. Yep.
Yep. Episode. And it was about archetypes, and it was fun. It was a fun episode. Yeah.
Yeah. We talked through character archetypes and mm-hmm. Like examples mm-hmm. and how they're used and some of our favorites in the categories. And
mm-hmm. except I was sick and used the wrong name of a character in a very famous book or a very popular book, and you misused it more than once. So at least I was consistent. So.
But it's okay. It was very close and it's totally understandable.
It Jamie only counts in hand grenades and horseshoes.
Well, it wasn't like one of your books went to print with like...
No, thank goodness. Thank goodness. Oh, Lord.
Mm. Although we've had stuff like that too, so...
Yes, we have. Part of our brand.
So, but yeah, that was a lot of fun. So that's, mm-hmm. if you're a supporter, that would be in your supporter RSS feed.
Yes, it would be. What's been going on with you? Anything?
Well, not much. We've, I did want to talk about, I found out that I have a book, an older book that came out about 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
maybe shorter than that, but it's not one of my new releases. Mm-hmm. I had a bookstore contact me and say, hey, we're doing a book box and we want to put your book in this book box.
Really?
And And I just out of the blue, the bookstore owner had read my book and she enjoyed it. And she said, we think it'd be a great fit for this box that's coming up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fantastic.
Yeah.
So that's going out. And I don't think they said they don't announce it until the books are until the book boxes are actually mailed. So I can't, mm-hmm. I'll tell you about it next week, I guess, mm-hmm. or the week after, mm-hmm. because I think they've just gone out. But I thought that was super exciting because that's something that like, I didn't have anything to do with. Somebody just found the book.
Right.
And they were like, this would be a great match. So you just never know when things like that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, who's reading your book. And even though it's old, like old mm-hmm. in publishing years.
Right.
Still, you know, can be bought and purchased and enjoyed by people who have never heard of it. So
yes,
I thought that was fun.
Amazing. I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's like all the news I got, really.
Okay. Well, that's good news. That's good news. That's exciting.
Yeah. What about you? What have you been doing?
Just writing. And I met with the group that I meet with once a month for, you know, brainstorming and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the header of my paper that I was, you know, when it came my turn was fun ideas. You know, just fun things that a couple,
that's you
know,
so you.
In a rom-com can do. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm like, oh, this doesn't, I don't know. Is that funny? Is that fun? I don't know. So
you're guessing yourself.
Yeah, I am. And so I'm trying not to think so much and just mm-hmm. do. Mm-hmm. That's sort of in my zone of genius anyways, just when I do it and don't mm-hmm. think about it. Mm-hmm. Number one activator. And so gets me in trouble, but you know, that, and I feel like there was something else, but I can't really remember. Writing.
I should give you a writing update since we're kind of doing that. So I'm still writing. I said I was close to the end of the book, still not done. Getting there, inching my way towards the end, but still not there.
Yeah, I'm working on an epilogue for the novella that is currently my, you know, lead magnet that I'm going to take down and make a book to sell with my new cover. Oh, I've got new covers. Did I tell y'all that? I can't remember.
You talked about their process, but
yeah, they're done? So great. Yes, they're done. They're done. Okay. I can put them in the group. I'm so happy with them. I love them so
much. Are they live and yet?
No, they're not live yet.
No, not yet.
I'm going to put everything out May 6th, I believe. And I'm going to run a deal. I'm going to run Rockstar Free, Sweet Talker, the second book, for 99 cents. And then the other two books will be $2.99, but I'm going to release this book at $3.99. And then I might leave it at $3.99. I might put it down to $2.99. I don't know. But it's not super long, but it's a good book. And I feel like my, you know, most of my readers are going to read it in KU anyway, if they, you know, or most readers will read it in KU. My readers have read it. They may get it just to read the new epilogue, but I'm working on that. And here's the bummer about that. I actually wrote a good part of this epilogue years ago. And of course, can I find it? No, no. Cannot find it.
So frustrating.
Cannot find it. I've looked everywhere. It's on my, it's probably on my old computer that I don't even know where that computer is. It wasn't dead, but I don't even know where it is. So
that's so frustrating. And I told my husband the other day, I said, I spend a lot of time now just opening documents and going, oh, this goes in this folder. And it's like saving, like I actually, I have it all organized now. I didn't think about it all when I started out that like I needed folders. I mean, I had an organizational system, but not great. And I would just tend to shove everything in Dropbox. So I'd have it.
I've looked everywhere and I can't find it, but, you know, c'est la vie.
But you remember it.
I remembered some of it. Somebody said to make me feel better, it's probably not as funny as you remember it being. And I was like, yeah, you're probably right.
Thanks.
You're probably right.
Oh, but that's like
it's third person. So I was writing it in third person and I was going, what am I doing? Have I ever written a book before? I don't even know. I mean, it's 1500 words, 2000 words. That's all I need. And
It's hard. It's like when you bid on a house and somebody else gets it. And even if that wasn't perfect, it's like the one that was snatched away. I'm sure you'll recover and get it.
Right. But anyway, that's going on here. So
I can't wait to see the covers. So exciting. Well,
oh, and I have a Facebook ad that's really working. So I'm really excited. I haven't had one of those in a very long time. So
that's excellent. So that's
good. Yeah. But anyway, we can get on to the show now.
Okay. So let's talk about branding.
Okay.
Some questions. How do you want to go through it?
If you want to I can just say what I think branding is.
Let's start with that way.
Okay. Yeah. So for me, branding is, you know, like you look it up, it's going to be described in a lot of different ways. But for me and in the author community, I feel like, not specifically for authors, but I do feel like for us, it is the promise you make your reader. And I've said that a million times. So that's not anything new or, inspiring. But the thing is that you're not just promising them like a fun book or a romance or a paranormal romance or a sci-fi or post-apocalyptic. What you're promising them is the emotions they get from that book. Are they getting the ick and the tingles from your post-apocalyptic book? Are they getting the suspense and thriller aspect of your thriller? Are they getting those on the level that you've promised them, either with your blurb or your cover or just your website, if they go to your website and it's all unicorns, but you write dark thrillers, I mean, that's such a...
It just doesn't match up, right?
It doesn't match up. It doesn't match up. So, yeah. So for me, that's what branding is. It is what you are going to deliver every time. And people know that about you. And so they know. So used to, we would think about branding like my, all my books are well branded. They all look exactly, you know, I mean, in the Bride series in particular.
You go, oh, this goes with that series.
Yes, in particular. And so because of that, it was easy for people to see that those books were in a series. But used to, it would be like the covers. Do they all match? We still do that. Is there like a banner that goes through all of the... that goes through all of the books or a flower or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can still do that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just not as, that's not making the promise that we need to be making. And so what I think we need to be focusing on is branding our names, brand, you know, making our brand, making our name become our brand.
Name brands. So,
yeah, name brands. And so, you know, like if you get a Diet Coke, if you watch a Diet Coke commercial, I will speak on this because I live for my next Diet Coke. You know that when they pop that open and pour it in that cup and it fizzles and stuff, mm-hmm. you know when they take a drink, it's going to burn all the way down their throat and they're going to love it. Mm-hmm. And that is like, you just know that about a Diet Coke when you open one. So when you open one and that's not what you get, you feel really cheated.
Disappointed.
And very cheated, disappointed. Yeah. And so the same is true with our books. You know, it doesn't, if you genre hop, I still think you can brand your book. You can brand your name. Yeah. I think the market has changed so much that, and people have done this enough that you can do that, but you still have to deliver what you say your name is going to deliver. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I see branding.
Yeah. And I do too. And I think a few years ago, if you'd asked me this question, I would have said it's about colors and fonts and covers and
everybody would,
and being distinguished from other, books in my my genre. Yeah. But now I think of branding almost as like if you're at an amusement park and you're going to take a ride and you're going to take, like if you take a roller coaster, that's a very different ride than the teacup ride, you know? And so what experience are you giving your readers? Mm-hmm. And do all the things in your author world, your book cover and your website and your store and all that, does it all match up and fit that? So yeah, that's kind of how I think of it. And then there's something else I was going to ask you. Oh, about the levels. You said you've got, are you delivering the level? And I think that's so important that people, and people don't think about that a lot because like in my genre, mystery, like for romance, it would be like the heat level, like how spicy or how tame or closed door is it, right? And for mystery, they have, there's the same thing. It's like, is it pure puzzle? Or is it psychological puzzle? Is it like more character driven? Is it more plot driven? So whatever you're you know, like my books tend to lean towards like the golden age type book where there's a puzzle, but I try and include characters that change and grow a little bit, but not like a ton. So if somebody's really looking for that character driven plot, they're probably not going to enjoy my books that much. So it's like, you've got to figure out a way to kind of convey kind of your, and I think every subgenre has that, right? Because like with sci-fi, you'd have the ones that are like way hard sci-fi. And then you've got the other ones that are more like cozier, I guess is what we're doing.
Well,
like
or fantasy more fantasy. Or, I mean, I do read sci-fi. I watch more sci-fi than I read, but, or, you know, where you've got the crew that is really, it's about the crew, more than it is about the science. And, you know, I
or
mean,
the
they have different
that
things.
They're fighting or whatever, or the planets they're exploring or whatever.
And so, you know, in your post-apoc, is it more horror or is it more just desperation?
How you, like, survival. Like
how you survive. And so, and please, you know, don't at me if I've gotten your subgenre wrong. Please
you
tell me
what we're saying.
Yes, please tell me, but don't be mean. But yeah, so I think that that is, I think that that makes it really, that if we can get that mindset though of branding our name and delivering on what our name promises mm-hmm. every time, then it will give us a lot more flexibility in the market. Also, now I'm not saying that you have one gigantic email list. If you write different mm-hmm. things, you may have to separate an email list, mm-hmm. but it's a lot easier to have one name and have separate emails than it is maintaining separate identities mm-hmm. For different subgenres yeah. and genres. So I think, but
yeah, I mean, when you start when you add in social media and stuff, mm-hmm. that's a lot to keep up
it's
with.
A lot.
We're already
yeah.
busy as it is. So
yeah. Yeah.
All right. So you've listed out here some questions about mm-hmm. how to determine your brand.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the first one we've talked about a little
yeah,
bit, right?
The promise. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, and what I'm saying about that is like, okay, I'm going to offer my readers, because I write funny romance, I'm going to offer my readers a funny light story with sexy times with a happy ending. Mm-hmm. Me and about 40 million other people are going to offer that because we're all offering that,
right.
But it's got to be something unique to you. Like, right. What is that unique thing that you, well, that's the next question, but what is
yeah.
that? Unique
yeah.
Thing
let's talk give, about that.
Yeah. What is the unique thing you give to a reader? For me, it's that, for me, I believe it is not just a funny story, but there is emotional, there's
yes,
a lot of emotion in my books.
That's what I was going to say. Just,
yeah.
Yeah.
And that I get that a lot in reviews. In fact, the girl that did my covers, Rachel, she, or not the cover, she was the consultant. She read all the books before she.
Oh, wow.
I know. That was another thing, y'all. She's really great. and anyway, but she read the books and she came back and she said, I really love them. She said, but they're a lot more emotional than I was expecting. For mm-hmm. a rom-com, but I laughed too. And I was like, yeah, I get that a lot. So that's mine. Like, there's just mm-hmm. going to be some, there's going to be this emotion in there that I know I'm going to deliver, and I need to deliver that every time. And I think that's why I'm struggling a little bit with this book, even though I'll fix it.
Yeah.
It's just like, it feels very surfacey. There's not, I haven't gotten to the meat of the characters yet. So because of that, you know, mm-hmm. That makes it hard.
Is that something that like you tend to deepen the characters as you write? Like, do you get a draft down and then you go back and you add stuff as you go?
Yeah, because usually I figure it out. Like I figure out what that thing is that mm-hmm. either they would never do or they try to avoid doing. Mm-hmm. And then they have to do it over and over again until they're mm-hmm. absolutely almost miserable.
Yeah.
But, you know, but still laughing all the way. So,
but
you
that's
know.
That's your thing that sets your books.
It is.
It makes
it's
them what a little sets, bit yeah. different from everybody else in the mm-hmm. market.
Yeah.
And so
and
that's what we have to figure out, right?
Right.
It's really hard to do it for our own books.
Right. And I'm not the only, like Jamie Albright is not the only rom-com
yeah.
author doing that. She is not.
Right.
But I will tell you that I know that about me. So that is what I can tell my readers they will mm-hmm. get from me. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're
and
trying to be.
If somebody doesn't want that, then they're going to be like, oh, no, I don't want to feel
yeah.
those deep emotions.
Yeah. And so I feel like, too, that like if you want that, you gather those people mm-hmm. that give you
yes.
that. And then you have a pool. So I'm not looking to corner the market on. emotional rom-coms. I'm just not. That would
right.
be silly. I write way too slowly to have that kind of pressure. I do not need that pressure. But I just feel like you need to know that. And it's taken me a while to figure that out. Like mm. I thought it was because they were so wacky. And then I thought it was but they're not all so wacky. They're wacky
right.
situations. Mm-hmm. But they all, I mean, what I've come to realize because of reviews and mm-hmm. just things people have said is that my books just have emotion in it. Like they laugh and they cry. They want, and they go to my books for that, you
right.
know. And
yeah, they want all the feels, right?
Mm-hmm,
so that's
mm-hmm.
what they get when they get mm-hmm. your book. So if you are trying to figure that out mm-hmm. for yourself, I would say looking at your reviews
yes,
is a good
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely.
Asking your readers, like maybe send yeah. out a newsletter and say, how would you describe my books? Maybe ask for like two or three descriptive words?
I would say ask for five, at least five.
Well, sometimes people be like, no, that's too much.
No, I won't do it. Yeah. As many as you'd like to give. Yeah. Yeah. Do that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you could, there's word cloud generators that you can hook mm-hmm. them up. You can put in a URL for a website right. and mm-hmm. you could, like, if you went to your review page, you could use that and mm-hmm. have it create a word cloud, you know, and they make the ones right. that are more common, bigger and smaller, if right. they're not as common. So that could right. give you some ideas.
Right.
Do you have any other suggestions? On, like,
no, those are really neat. I mean, the biggest thing is, like, if you have, you know, if you have trusted readers, mm-hmm. you can go to them. They will tell you. But I look at the reviews. I look at reviews. I just sort of hear what's coming back at me. You know, what's how, when I get an email, how that, you know, sometimes you have to read between the lines, you know, but how it made them feel to read yes. your book. And if you're hearing the same theme over and over, I think you've got your answer. So,
yeah. And then you just have to turn it into a snappy right. little tagline, which we'll talk yeah. about later, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But yeah. Easier said than done.
Yeah. So next you said, let's talk about who is your ideal reader.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to figure that out. And there are ways to figure that out. Like, you know, you can look at analytics from your ads and things like that. I think most of us are readers until recently with TikTok, most of our readers are, you know, 35 and up. It used to be more like 40 and up, but I think it's gone lower. Things have changed. And I think that, you know, now they're even 20 mm-hmm. something. But and the thing is you're not looking for one reader. I mean, mm-hmm. it's one reader, but it's that one reader in a group of readers. And it mm-hmm. doesn't mean that that one reader only reads emotional rom-coms with, you know, lots of emotion. Mm-hmm. They probably read other rom-coms too, but they do like rom-coms with emotion too. So mm-hmm. when they're looking and thinking, what do I need today or want mm-hmm. today? They know they can come to one of my books and be served exactly mm-hmm. what they want. Right. And, or hopefully, I mean, that's the goal, you know. Clearly, that's the goal. Yeah. But yeah, you can poll your readers too about this. But if you know, like for me, when I was writing today, I was thinking, what would Christy and Carol yes. and, you know, all of these people that I know in my group, what would make them laugh today? Like mm-hmm. what would make them laugh? Yeah. So getting to know your readers too makes a huge difference.
Yes.
Or what if you write horror, you know, what's going to scare the crap out of Paul today, you know, or make him go, like with me, when I hear a true crime podcast and they give an advisory at the a warning at the beginning that this could be disturbing. I'm like,
Jamie's like, yay. Like,
yeah, I know. I'm so sick. But yeah, like who are those people? Give them, right. give them an avatar in your mind or make them, I mean, get to know yeah. the real people.
I think like you can create an avatar. Mm-hmm. But it's so much better, like and this just happens over time, like as
yes,
you get
does.
To know your readers and as you have readers that come back again and again, like mm-hmm. if you have an art team, that's mm-hmm. a great place to ask
yeah, absolutely.
People, like what do you expect or what mm-hmm. are you looking for when you pick mm-hmm. up one of my books? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what are the unique things that you're looking forward to?
Right. And are you a whale reader or are you yeah. a reader that only reads a few books a year or somewhere in between? And yeah. and if you know that about your readers, or are you a reader that reads somebody and if they don't have a book out in a month, you don't read them anymore. Guess mm-hmm. what? You're not my reader.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Go be free. Find those authors who will give you what you want, but you're not my ideal reader. Yeah. And that's okay. I mean, you probably would love my book if you read it. But I'm not going to be able to serve you the right. way you want to be served. And so we need to think about that. Yeah. If you're a new reader, I mean, if you're a new author, and so, you know, because this does take time. It takes mm-hmm. time to get to know your readers. Mm-hmm. Look at who your comp authors are and who their readers are, or if you're one of their readers, then mm-hmm. you can be pretty much assured that most mm-hmm. of their readers you're going to fall into that category. So you can use yourself as an ideal reader until you get yours. Right. That's really what I did. I wrote the first, that whole first series pretty much for me, because I knew that those were the kind of books that I love to read and those were the kind of books I wanted to write. And so that's, you can do that too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good way to do it is you start with, like for me, it was like my mom, because she reads mysteries too. And I was like, I'll picture her and what she would enjoy and write for that. And then like over time, I've gotten to know my like faithful readers.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, it's just like over time. And then like you see their posts on social media and you learn a little bit about them and you're like, oh, okay. So, and it begins to become clearer, but it just does take time.
Right. Right. I mean, like for me, a lot of my readers, and I think for all of us, a lot of our readers have some health concerns. And so, you know, writing books that are, if those ideal readers are, I mean, if those readers are our readers, then they want some comfort too. You know, I mean, they may want the wild and sexy and that's great too, but they probably want some comfort and something that's going to make them just want to snuggle in with that book. So, I mean, you just have to figure out who those people are. And we talked, I just mentioned comp authors. And so the next one is, who are your comp authors? And the reason you want to look at this is because, well, first of all, you need to know who your comp authors are.
Like, it's just helpful.
It's just publishing 101. I mean, it's just helpful. And I'm not trying to be, you know, flipping about it, but that is something that's really important. And I think that a lot of new authors don't think a lot about. I was fortunate that I realized that before I published, that I needed to know that, mostly because I waited to publish and I learned that along the way. But also you want to see, you want to be able to look at other comp authors and see what they're doing that you like, as far as their branding goes. But what do you do? What are they doing that you dislike? Because if they're doing if they're doing things you dislike, then you don't want to do that because that's not true to who you are. That's and your brand needs to be honest, I think. I mean,
you know, need to be comfortable with it. Right?
Yes. Yes, because you're going to have to represent yourself. Like one time I said jokingly that, you know what? I should just sit down and write a Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Choose your, you know, why choose
your own adventure?
Yeah, no, why choose romance? You know, like reverse harem, but why choose? Yeah. That's what they call it now. I said I should just do that. Like, just sit down and write it because those are killing it. And somebody said, Jamie, do not do that because if that takes off, you. Like you
you're
don't even
be writing that. For
yeah,
a
you're going to be writing
time.
That for the rest of your life, and that's not the kind of thing you want to write. I mean, not that I read them; I just don't write them. And so, it was like you want to be true to you. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to be completely transparent, and it doesn't have to be 100% authentic. But it does have to be something you can feel comfortable with. And I'll give you an example. And this is another thing. Don't come at me for this, but. Because of my age and when I grew up, the word slut was a really bad word. Still a bad word. I mean, it's a very negative word. So it's a negative word now.
Yeah.
But very closely related to that in my mind is smut.
Yeah.
And
I hate
having my books referred to as smut. Like, and it's a very acceptable, people celebrate that word now. It's very celebrated in the romance community. And I just hate it. And it grinds against me. It's not like I think badly of them. They're not wrong. It's a neutral word. It is a neutral word.
Right.
But for me, it
has
grinds.
Connotations for you.
It has really negative connotations. So every time I hear it, I kind of like jump a little bit. Like it catches me off guard when somebody refers to my books that way because it has had a negative connotation, like when I was growing up. And then also up until recently, last few years, you know, we took that word back and made it, you know, made it a thing we celebrated in the romance community. But for a long time, people just, and they still refer to it as smut, and they don't mean it in a celebratory way. Yeah. Right. And so for me, anybody any rom-com author that really goes that direction, I'm probably going to veer away from whatever branding they're doing, because that's not what I'm about. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. They're going to have their people and their market, and I'm going to have mine. And you're
not saying that the way you're doing it is the right way.
No, not at all.
The wrong way.
No, in fact, I'm probably doing it the wrong way. Yeah. I'm probably losing a good share of the market because of that. Yeah. It's just not for me.
Well, I mean, there are plenty of authors and plenty of readers that are looking for something that's not that. And so you're just giving them a clear signal, come over here if you want a different type of book.
Right. And the thing is, here's the thing. My books would be considered like library. Very low on the smut level, like by most romance readers. Mm-hmm. However, by the community at large, by my friends that don't read romance, oh my gosh, they're so smutty. I mean, you know, and they don't mean it nice. They're not saying it nicely. And so because of that, I just have this real dilemma with that word. It's not, the word is neutral. I do not hate the word, and I do not think that romance authors should stop using it.
Right.
I just feel like for me, I'm not comfortable in that space.
Right.
So because of that, I don't.
Yeah. So this makes me think of our interview with Margaret Lashley, and we were talking about keywords and stuff. And she said she doesn't think readers think about things the same way authors do.
Right.
Like we get all into the weeds about all these different, like all these different things that, you know, would be maybe, oh, this would be categorized this way or called this.
Mm-hmm.
But general readership, they may not know all those things.
No.
And so like for them, so it's like we kind of have to, sometimes you're too close to our in-depth, you know.
Oh, yeah. We go down a rabbit hole. Yeah.
Cozy mystery set in a small town that features, you know, it's like, and they just want a mystery. A lot of people don't even know all these different categories, subcategories. Right. So we need to make it clear and simple.
Yeah.
And keep it maybe a little higher level.
Right.
So we tend to go sometimes.
Yeah.
To get the reader in. Like you write rom-coms, but you write emotional rom-coms.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, it's like kind of like
it narrows things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and on the flip side, the rom-com authors that I love, that I love personally, and I love their books, you know, Lucy Score, Megan Quinn, Pippa Grant, J.J. Knight. I mean, those people are, here's their branding. And if you ask any one of their readers, they would say they are so engaged with their readers. That's part of their brand. They are super, super engaged with their readers. Like, that's really all that matters to them. And I can tell you that I am not at that level with my readers. I just am not. And it's weird because I would have thought that I would have been, but I mean, they are like, their readers are what comes first for them. And so they do what they need to do to keep their readers happy. And so that kind of branding, whatever they're doing in that, yeah, I want to do more of that. I want to be more like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a process, I think. I think it's a process.
And you haven't really been at the point for the last couple of years could do that. So,
no.
And this is also making me think of our interview, or not the interview. We talked about Becca Syme's New Rules of Publishing. Mm-hmm. And she talked about how there's different types of fandom and different ways to relate to your readers. And like one of them was through personality. Like, and I think that's kind of what you are. You connect with the personality. Some people connect through the world of their books.
Yeah.
And other people connect through the books themselves. Like the readers are more interested in the books than the authors.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have to figure out like which one your readers are looking for. And if you're trying to make things happen that your readers are not interested in, then that's where you get to a lot of frustration. And so like, there are some readers who really want that personal connection with the author. And then there's some readers like, I just want to read the next book.
Yeah.
You have to figure out where you are.
Exactly. And, you know, also I'm not at the level of those authors. And so it could be, that could be why, because I don't have that community feel that they have really, really worked to foster. But mm-hmm. like there are other authors, and I won't mention name because I've never spoken to them about this, and I don't want to just say it. But because the other, like for me, the four authors that I just mentioned, it's more like a party. Like their readers would be mm-hmm. like, everybody's welcome. Come on. Yeah. And yeah. the readers would say that. I mean, the authors would say that too, but the readers would say that.
Right.
There are other authors who would still say that. Come on in. You're welcome. Everybody's welcome. But their brand is almost like not an exclusive club, but if you get in here, you're going to stay. You're going to wallow around in this goodness and you are not going to want to leave. Mm-hmm. And I can think of one author in particular that mm-hmm. that is her brand. Like she really offers her readers something special. Just not, she doesn't give them things except her books. Her books are just so emotional. They're funny too, yes. but they are super emotional and they really get under people's skin. And yeah. And she writes rom-com books. So, you know, it's the same sort of thing. So, mm-hmm. you know, you just have to decide which one are you and what is your brand going to be mm-hmm. as it relates to how you're outwardly facing, you know, yeah. so, and how is it going to be perceived?
Yeah. All right. Well, so let's see. The next one is, does your voice and the brand you want match up? I think that's really important to think about.
This is super important. This is really important. Yeah.
So you may go into this, but one of my questions is, what if you're writing something that doesn't match your voice?
Yeah.
Like, what would your recommendation be for that? Or
fix one of them.
Okay.
Change the, you know, if you're wanting to write a light, happy rom-com, And the thing is, even though mine are emotional, they're still light and happy. But if you want to mm-hmm. write a light and happy rom-com, but you know, we're talking about some real deep, serious issues, then maybe take it out of the rom-com category and just put it in contemporary romance so that it's a contemporary romance with funny moments. But, mm-hmm. And probably that author I was talking about, she would probably fall more in that category than she mm-hmm. falls in, rom-com, but it's just, you've got to fix it. You can't, because if you don't, well, part of the problem too is you don't know who you're serving. You don't know your ideal. If that's what you're doing, if your voice and your story don't match, then you are going to give your book to people that don't want it, mm-hmm. you know, and people who really would love it are going to miss it. Yeah. Because you've missed the mark on that.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, you can also work with a coach and see if you can change your voice, but I would probably.
I think it's hard to change your voice.
It's very hard. If you find your voice, do never change it. Yeah. Never change it. That's just my opinion, because it's very hard to find. You know, it's hard for new authors to find it. It's hard for, I mean, it's just hard. It's hard to know what that is. And you wiggle around a lot in that space to really snuggle in mm-hmm. and find what really works. And you just don't want to lose it. You, mm-hmm. you just don't.
Yeah.
So don't do it.
Yeah.
Change the genre. That's me. Okay. I don't know. If you disagree, that's totally fine. Put it in the group and we'll talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So anything else on matching your voice and your brand?
Not really. Not really. If, I mean, you know, it kind of goes with what we were saying earlier, the cover, the font, mm-hmm. the colors, everything like that. If that's not matching, then let's fix it. Those are easy fixes. Mm-hmm. You know, they may cost you a little bit of money, but they're not. You need to, let's just fix it. You know, mm-hmm. give that. There's so many books out there. Give your book the best chance it has. And you. Nailing your branding is one of the best ways to give your book the best chance it has, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then you're so far ahead. Whereas if you have someone whose voice and brand doesn't match up
right.
and somebody picks it up, it's like, there's like a dissonance. Mm-hmm, it just, mm-hmm. And so those people
get good
will
reviews,
turn
but sometimes they get good, and it's confusing for the author because some of the reviews are really good and some of the reviews are like, what did I just read? Like, this isn't what I wanted, or DNF. And that's confusing because they're getting these good reviews. Well, it's a good book. It's just being served to the wrong people. Mm-hmm. You need to know who that person is and then give them what they want every time.
Okay. And then you have on the list 10 words to describe your brand.
Yeah. And that's hard.
It's hard.
And you're not going to get any of, I mean, you're going to get the surface words. And then by 8, 9, or 10, hopefully you're getting some better.
You're Googling.
You're doing synonym.com. Yeah. But that's a really great way to kind of help you, or taking some of the words that you see over and over in your reviews and putting them through a thesaurus synonym kind of thing to see if you can find some reviews that are, I mean, some words that really are different than, you know, sweet and, you know,
Whatever,
the words we all use. Yeah.
Like in each genre, there's certain little phrases and terms that are used over and over and over again.
Right.
If you can figure out like just a little twist on that, it gives it a uniqueness. And that's what you're looking for, is like the words that describe you. And I did this a couple of years ago. I took a course on branding, and that was one of the things, was like you listed words to describe your brand, and then you had to go find images that would convey that, because you know, like you recognize things quickly and you have associations with them. And that was super helpful for me. And then I think that helps too later on with covers and things.
And then the last thing, you can use those words in an author tagline. Now, Sky Warren put out an email about a month ago or something that was saying, you know, taglines are useless. And, you know, I'm not saying your tagline is going to sell your book. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, it will help you remember what it is you write.
It
gives you a focal point. It's not for the readers necessarily. It's for us. But like for me, I had something for a while and it was just, I think I saw it on a pillow or something. I needed some. Oh my gosh, I'm so professional. And, but then I came, my tagline now is sexy, swoony, pee your pants funny. Okay. So the swoony part is the emotional part. That's the part where they're going to get that swoon, that emotion, that, you know, I could even change it. I could make it, you know, if I could come up with an S word that meant really emotional, or not really emotional, but somewhat emotional, slightly emotional. That's it. Sexy, no, slightly emotional.
No, keep swoony. We're just sticking with swoony for right now.
So if I use it on ads, I say sexy, swoony, hilarious, you know, sometimes because it's shorter. But I'm always thinking about that. Like, is this within my realm of comfort for the sex? Because that's important to me. You know, I think I heard the Twilight author, whose name has completely left me at this moment. Myers. All know her.
Myers.
Yes, Stephanie Myers. Sorry, Stephanie. But I heard her say once that she wrote, you know, as far as the intimacy between them and why it wasn't more, there wasn't more or whatever. She wrote what she was comfortable with. And I remember thinking, oh, wow, yeah. And as I've written more, I've become comfortable with more. but there, you know, for me, that helps me to remember that. There is a certain level of heat that I do need to deliver. The swoony, this relationship has got, they got to be the only people for each other. And they're going to go through a lot of crap to find out if that they're the only people. And then hilarious or pee your pants funny. I mean, they're just going to be moments that are, you know,
wacky, fun.
You're going to be a little cringy because they'll be, you know, and I could put that in there. I could be cringy. I could go with all C's. But I just feel like for me, it helps. It's a focal point for me. Mm-hmm. Also, at a glance, sexy, swoony, hilarious, sexy, swoony, pee your pants, funny. It's enough to get somebody maybe to stop on an ad and look. But again, is it your brand? No, not necessarily. I mean, or is it going to sell your books as your brand? Probably not. Probably not. But it is a good, it's a good tool to help you. If you aren't familiar with branding, or you haven't really thought about it, or it's been really confusing for you, it is a nice tool to sit down and go, let me think about
this. Does this match up? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So I was thinking about,
I think that the taglines, so this is what I've learned after doing the Kickstarter and looking ever since in the Kickstarter. Now when I'm on social media and I see people put up a cover of their book and then they list, you know, the links where you can buy it or new release, so the cover of the book. And I always think, what is this about?
Right.
You know, there's like, and so that was one thing Kickstarter taught me is that there are going to be people looking at my book that they don't know that it's a 1920s country house mystery or they don't know that it's a travel mystery. Right. And just a couple of little lines or phrases give people enough of a clue to go, oh, I'm interested in that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Tell me more or moving on. And sometimes just a little tagline on the, your website or on your social media handles or something lets people know, oh, I want to dig in and find out more about this person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of just
because it's a cake. It's a cake. You're layering things on top of each other. And so they see one thing and they're going, they're maybe slightly intrigued. And then they see another thing, you know, like in my case, if they see one, a video that I'm funny in or the content is funny, then they're like, I'm seeing a little bit more. And then they, you know, and then they, it brings them to your book basically. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, your book is the topping on the cake, you know? And so, that's, I don't know. My metaphors are pretty bad today, but that,
I like them. Okay. Give me more.
But yeah. So that's why I think it's important. But
yeah. And I think it's just good for us to keep it, to keep it in mind. And then it gives us a quick, easy kind of elevator pitch for our books or our type of
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, sometimes you meet people and they're like, what do you, when you write and you don't, you're not going to give them a paragraph.
No, I tell people I write sexy, swoony, pee your pants, funny books.
Yeah. I say I run a
or romances,
country house mysteries like Downton Abbey meets Miss Fisher or Agatha Christie or something like that. And people are like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So then they know. Because if I say cozy mystery, some people are like, I don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, where have you been?
Right.
Under a rock.
Under a rock.
Everybody knows what cozy mystery is, right?
I know. Well, and I don't know. I just feel like with market being so crowded, we've got to do everything we can. Mm-hmm. And I was seeing in a lot of groups, people were asking questions about branding. And so I really was, and I had been thinking about it anyway. So I put together a little thing that I, and you know, I did a special call for that. Mm-hmm. For people. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think I got it wrong at the beginning. I think I was more focused on the taglines than I should have been because I was trying to help them really focus down, drill down on that. Mm-hmm. But I think having an overall concept of what brand is, and anyway, it's gotten better over time, hopefully. But I really do think it helps authors to sit down and think about what it is, because we're so busy being busy. We're so busy being busy. We're so busy trying to write that next book. We're so busy trying to keep up. We're so busy trying to hit the market and all of these things. And, but I think thinking about your brand and those more cerebral things that really connect with readers is important. I think it's important.
And it's like, this is something you have to take some time to slow down. Mm-hmm. It's, you're probably not going to come up with the perfect brand slash tagline in an hour.
No,
you know, it may
it takes a while,
a couple of weeks or a month or a couple of years. You may have to,
or you may try something and you're like, that's not what that's not
working.
Yeah,
I changed my tagline a lot.
We may be going to the sea soon. So, you know, there you go.
Stay tuned.
We'll stay tuned. Yeah. But that's all I have. Unless you have more questions, I think that.
No, I think the only other thing that people would be curious about is like just how to distinguish themselves. And we've kind of already talked about that. Like if there's, you know, a million books in your subgenre, you're going to distinguish yourself with your tone, your emotion, or like, you know, like whatever is special about your book. And then you want to use your visual covers and colors and things to convey that, right? Would you add anything?
And your blurb. Yeah, exactly. You know, you want to grab them where you can. I mean, look at your Amazon page. Is it reflective of your brand? I mean, is your A+ content and your cover matching up? That's tricky, especially these days with the illustrated covers and the spicier books. It's tricky.
Yes,
so you,
that's really
you know,
hard. That
is exactly where I would go and look at comp authors and see what they're doing and if they're having success with that, because you just want to make sure that whole page. I mean, because most people are not going to our websites. I'm just telling you, they just probably aren't.
Your established readers are going there when you send them.
Right. But new readers are not. Yeah.
But people who are discovering you are probably finding you on the retailers.
Right. Whatever retail site is, that retail site, does it reflect you and your branding? Yeah. excuse me. I feel like that it's a process, as we said. So if you've gotten it wrong, or you feel like you had it wrong, you got it right, now it's wrong again. I mean, you can fix it. Like, that's fixable. But the way to stand out, I think, is it starts with the blurbs, the covers, you know, as we've always said. I mean, a bad cover can stand out.
But not in a good way. You stand out in a good way.
And it's hard because everybody has such great covers. I mean, you know, covers have become.
The bar has gone.
Yes, the bar is so high. So it's more. And I think that's what's different from when we started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like with me back in 2015, 2017, you know, 2015, I put out that first book. The big thing then was these banners that went across every book. So you would know. I'm swishing my hand.
Yeah. So it was like the.
Yeah.
It branded it with like the tagline or the series name.
Series name on it. Yeah. But it's because other people had crappy covers. So if you had a really good cover and a really good blurb, you could hook people in. Mm-hmm. Well, now the bar is higher. People are smarter. Yeah. This industry has matured. And so now it's got to be the whole package. Like it's that cake. I mean, you know, don't make one layer of your cake crappy and the rest delicious.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like you've got to have
vice versa.
Yeah. It's like you don't want to have a great chapter 5 through 25. You want to have a great chapter 1 to put everybody in. So you've got to have everything all there.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Okay. So, all right. Well,
this is not about branding, but this reminds me, new authors, if you're listening, if you give your book to somebody and say, stick with it until chapter 3, that's when it gets good, then please delete chapter 1 and 2 and start in chapter 3.
Probably don't need those.
Yeah. Okay. That's me. I'm done.
So we should say that you do consulting for branding.
I do.
So if anybody wants like one-on-one help with this,
there's where should they go? Yeah. They can just go to my website for author services. Yeah.
Okay.
But
And you said there's a discount too for podcast listeners.
Podcast listeners. Just let me know.
Okay. All right. Well, we will have links for that in the show notes, and those will be at wishidknownforwriters.com. And thanks to Alexa Larberg for editing and producing the podcast, and to Adriel Williams for doing the admin. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast. We hope this episode inspired you, empowered you, and made you laugh a little bit too. If you loved it, tell your friends about it. And if you feel so inclined, leave us a review. We look forward to being with you again next week.